Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is presented by KFC. So, I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 110-106 win over the San Antonio Spurs. But I genuinely don't know if this game matters. It does. It's a big win. It's objectively speaking, a very well-played game. A lot of ups and downs. A lot of good moments. And I'll get to that in a second. But this game was played about 2 hours after it was reported that Kobe Bryant and his daughter, 13-year-old daughter Gianna, were among 9 people that had died in a plane crash. In Los Angeles, apparently Kobe, who's 41 when this happened, apparently he was taking his daughter to practice, which seems very fitting for Kobe. It really does. But it was very sudden news, very tragic news. It's one of those moments where you're always going to remember where you were when it happened. And I actually just finished writing a sort of a tribute to Kobe and sort of what he meant and touched on this game in general that was played between the Raptors and the Spurs. But it just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? The words are hard to come right now. It really does. I wouldn't really say I was a big Kobe fan, but you cannot be a fan of basketball and not be a fan of Kobe and not appreciate what he did, what he meant to the game. He's such an icon. This is not the time to debate where he ranks all time. All that shit is pointless. It's meaningless. What this time is for is just to recognize that the way Kobe Bryant went about the sport of basketball, the way he loved the game, the way he mastered the game, the way he dedicated his entire life to the game, that's something that's just going to be, that's something that's never going to be replicated again. And it's something that when you think about it in totality, it inspires you. It truly inspires you. Like, Kobe literally made his life into a movie and it won an Oscar. He made the sport of basketball better. He is an all-time great, a 5-time champion, 18-time All-Star. The 2 Olympic gold medals, which were both very memorable. I'm not a big fan of the United States in terms of international competitions, but how could you not respect the Redeem Team doing what they did in 2008, Kobe Bryant in Beijing, willing the team to victory over, you know, Marc Gasol and the Spanish national team. He did so much for the game, what makes today so tragic is just everything about it. Like, everything about it is just so fucking tragic. But you think about it. This is a man who, again, he dedicated his whole life to basketball, and the sport of it is so much better because Kobe did that. I remember that, covering that 15-16 season, and on the last day of the season, there were 2 storylines going into it. There was the Golden State Warriors chasing 73 wins against the Memphis Grizzlies, and also Steph Curry was chasing 400 threes. On both accounts, they got their marks. But really, the game of the night was Lakers versus Utah at Staples Center. and Kobe in his last game after playing 20 seasons and undergoing the worst injury in basketball, the tearing his Achilles. He comes back, and in his final game, he gives you 60, and not even just 60 points. But those 60 points were needed to win. It's reminiscent of that 81-point game that he had against the Raptors. In that game, I think the Raptors were up like 27 in the third quarter, and Kobe goes off for literally 81 points. Just think about the mental fortitude it takes to score 81 points, let alone the physical toll and everything like that. But in that last game, Kobe scores 60, and the spectacle and the speech and him dropping the mic and saying Mamba out, and that being his last memory as the basketball player, is just it's just incredible. And Shaq that night telling him, you better get me 50, and Kobe was so much of an asshole, that he was like, you know what, I'm gonna give you 60 instead, how about that, Shaq? And he really gave him 60, man. And again, go back and watch the highlights, man. The Lakers were down the fourth quarter, and the Jazz were objectively a better team. He was on the floor with guys like, Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson, but it just didn't matter, man. 38-year-old Kobe Bryant, after playing 20 seasons, scores 60 points, and it's so sad and feels so empty, especially in the immediate wake of his passing. And you think about the way Kobe gave to the next generation, right? He loved basketball. He got everything he ever could have out of the game of basketball. But then, what do you do after that point? What do you do after you won it all? What do you do after you're arguably a top five player of all time? You give it back. And that's what he did. I mean, in his older years, that's all he did. I mean, how many times did you get excited about DeMar DeRozan going to work with Kobe Bryant? You read all these stories. Kyrie, after he wins the 2016 NBA championship, he hits the biggest shot. And what does he do the first time? In Game 7, one of the most memorable shots of all time, and one of the best playoff series of all time, his first act is to go into the locker room and call Kobe and FaceTime Kobe. That's the significance he had. Look at Kawhi, how much Kawhi was inspired by Kobe. You don't really see it because people don't say it. He models his game after Kobe. I remember last year, Norman Powell giving a quote in the playoffs where he said about Kawhi Leonard, that's Kobe right there. And, Kobe spent so much of his time training other guys, so much so it became a meme, the Kobe challenges, it really did become a meme. But like, seriously, how many players went out and worked with him? Even this past summer, you're looking at guys like Norman Powell and OG Anunoby and like a dozen other players going to the Mamba Academy to just have a chance to just work with Kobe, pick his brain, figure out sort of how he saw the game and just learn from him. The amount that you learn from him, he was like a basketball Yoda in a way, man. Like, everyone respected this guy because he put that much work and effort into it. And it doesn't matter if he ranks where he ranks against Michael Jordan, where he ranks against LeBron. What it matters is that he put everything he had into the game. You cannot deny how much he loved basketball. And he was giving it to the next generation. And then it just puts into perspective how much life is cruel. Life is fickle, and they could be taken away at any single moment, when you can have someone like this taken from the world, and him and his daughter, his 13-year-old daughter, who, I mean, he put everything into his kids, especially in his retirement. Kobe being such an advocate for the WNBA, for women's sports in general, he was training. He was literally training his daughter to carry on his legacy, and not even in an egotistical way. Just like giving everything he had into his kids. And I'm not a parent, but I do have a younger brother who's 10 years younger than me. And in many ways, I do feel like a third parent to him. And that's what I would aspire to be as a parent, is to do that, to sacrifice and to give everything I have to my kids. And I think that's what Kobe was doing. And it's just, and to think that he was literally taking her to practice during that moment, it's just, life is so cruel. Life is so fleeting. And You know, it was just, it made for an incredibly difficult watch. It made for an incredibly difficult experience of the game. My heart goes out to everybody who was a part of that game. The pregame scenes, again, this is, the game started at 4 o'clock Eastern time, which was about 2 hours after TMZ broke the news. And, you know, you could literally see all the players going through it in real time. You could see DeMar just sitting on the bench being consoled by Greg Popovich. I mean, if you don't know, I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't know this as a Raptor fan, but if you don't know, DeMar modeled his entire game after Kobe. DeMar is from Compton. He's from LA. Kobe is, you know, he's LA royalty. He is the king of Los Angeles in a city where it's a million different celebrities and influencers and everything like that, actors and all this other bullshit. Kobe is the king, man, of LA of all places. And DeMar modeled his entire game after Kobe. All the mid-range shots, the pump fakes, the footwork, the shot making, the determination. You know, he idolized that man. And he had to go and play basketball right now in the wake of the news. I mean, I was very surprised that the NBA did not cancel the games. I know it would have been very last second. I know it would have been a logistical nightmare. But we're talking about Kobe Bryant passing. Who the hell wants to watch basketball right now? Who the hell wants to play basketball right now? The sheer toll, the human toll that it took on the players to even go out there and perform is beyond me. And that's why I say part of this game doesn't matter. Because, again, you look at what was going through these guys' heads, man. You know, there was Tim Duncan on the bench alongside Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon. And they're crying together. And, you know, you think about Tim Duncan. Like, this is Kobe's adversary. Over the course of their careers, Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant overlap almost perfectly. Both guys play for one team. Both guys legends. Both five-time All-Stars. You know, you could debate whether, again, it doesn't, I don't care about that shit right now. But, you know, you just think about how many memories that Tim Duncan, how many interactions that he had with Kobe over the years. And for him to be on there sitting on the bench in a suit during this tragedy is just, it's horrible. And, you know, the scenes before the game, I mean, like, DeMar standing on the floor and Kyle obviously coming over to him, and then Norm coming over and Pascal coming over and OG coming over, and just to see the humanity at that moment of just all of these friends. Yes, they're about to play a game. Yes, it was raw that DeMar got traded, and yes, it must be incredibly difficult to then see the Raptors go on and win the title. But damn, like, at least they had each other in that moment, and it was just heartbreaking to see them console each other. And then at this, you know, before the game even started, they held a moment of silence in San Antonio for Kobe. And Spurs fans broke out into a chant of Kobe. You know how, I mean, I'm obviously the situation is bigger than basketball itself, but just think about that from a basketball perspective for a second. For Kobe Bryant, the all-time Laker, to be chanted in San Antonio. Don't forget how much San Antonio hates the Lakers, right? The rivalry that over the years, the fact that Kobe's Lakers eliminated the Spurs 4 different times, and on at least 3 of those occasions, the Spurs would have gone on and beaten the Eastern Conference and probably would have been NBA champions. The Spurs could be 8-time champions if it wasn't for the Los Angeles Lakers. And it was Spurs fans that go on out and chanted Kobe, 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 over and over again. Game starts, so they're still chanting. It's amazing. It speaks to just sort of the respect that even their most hated rivals had for Kobe. That's the kind of respect he garnered. And the start of the game, I thought it was a brilliant move by the Raptors and the Spurs to... At the start of the game, the Raptors won the tip-off. Fred VanVleet brought it past half court and stood at half court. All the players stood still. They took a 24-second violation in honor of Kobe, number 24. And then the Spurs, on the next possession, did the exact same thing, 24 seconds. And, you know, from then on, the game started. But, you know, all throughout the broadcast, you know, they're talking about it. The mood in the arena is palpable. You can sense how much tragedy is just in the air. And it almost makes the game, you know, difficult because... For a lot of players and probably for a lot of fans and people around the team and organizations and everything like that, sports is supposed to be a reprieve from real life, man. Sports is what we do to distract ourselves from real life. Sports is what we do to cheer us up. Sports is something that we do to bond us together, and for sports to be the thing that causes so much pain and so much tragedy in that moment, it must have been incredibly difficult, and again, it almost made the game moot. It really did, because the whole time I just spent it thinking about, you know, just not just Kobe's legacy and all that stuff, but just how cruel life can be, and how much, you know, we spend all this time writing and thinking about just a game of basketball, and just who can put the ball in the hoop, who can prevent the other team from putting the ball in the hoop. It's almost ridiculous in a way, and it felt very trivial in the moment. So I apologize that, it's not what you would typically expect when you click on one of these podcasts. But you know, as for the game itself, from honestly the bit that I could remember, obviously, Pascal Siakam was amazing. In the first quarter, it's the best I've ever seen him. He scored 25 points in the first quarter, which is a Raptors franchise record. And yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous how he was hitting threes, how decisive he was playing, beating everyone one-on-one in transition, one-on-one moves, everything like that. It was nuts. I mean, he just hitting, putting pull-up threes. He really looked like Kevin Durant out there. And it was great to see. The Raptors obviously raced out to a big lead because of Pascal. Pascal also did a really good job of just kicking it out. Him and Fred have great chemistry together, and he found Fred for a couple open threes, and you know, Pascal's playmaking is something that is an area of growth for him, and he needs to continue growing, especially when he's hot. Defense is going to collapse on him. He's going to have to kick it out and find the open guy, and Fred was able to do that. But, you know, Spurs are a resilient team, and similar to the last game against San Antonio, which was played in Toronto, where the Raptors lost at the very end, Raptors held the lead, but in the third quarter, the Spurs make this push, and the Spurs were just lights out from three in the third quarter. It was some bad defense by the Raptors, for sure. The Raptors were definitely more focused on taking away the rim than they were going into the three-point line, but, you know, the Spurs just got a lot of open threes, and they made a whole bunch of open threes. Raptors led by 19 early on in the second quarter. The Spurs ended up taking the lead in the third quarter, towards the end of the third quarter. And it should have created this like really, really tough battle at the very end, where the Raptors had to really steady themselves. Believe it or not, Marc Gasol went on a personal 8-0 run at one point. He hit one of those looping turnaround jumpers over Jakob Poeltl, and he hit some free throws, and he hit a three, and it just really calmed the team down. Kyle made a whole bunch of plays down the stretch. Fred made a huge three and some key free throws to really put the Spurs away. And, you know, Pascal did his thing amid all of that. I mean, the defense was definitely keying in on him. And so I thought one of the plays of the game, one of the KSC plays of the game was just him, you know, driving the lane, getting a switch against DeMar DeRozan, attacking it, drawing a second defender, and kicking it out to Fred VanVleet, who relocated and hit the three and lost his defender. That was a big possession to give the Raptors a three-point edge in the last minute. And of course, you know, Kyle Lowry always factors into all these things. You know, Kyle just attacking out the pick and roll. Again, attacking DeMar. There was really a concerted effort to attack DeMar defensively. And Kyle's able to get to the rim, score. And also, he made it a brilliant play where Raptors had missed a shot. The Spurs were going to get the ball back up through down three with a chance to tie. And Kyle ends up, you know, waiting on the rebound where DeJounte Murray comes down with the ball. It's very similar to the game against the Knicks, where, you know, that inbound pass went to Randle and Kyle Lowry snuck up on him and stole the ball. This is a similar situation where Murray comes down with the defensive rebound and Kyle's waiting underneath them, slaps the ball out of his hand, it bounces off of Murray's hand. He's reaching for it as it goes out of bounds, and the Raptors get the ball back, and Fred gets the free throws, and that's game over. And you know, it is just again, man, it's hard. It's hard to think about the game. It really is. You know, it was a game where, again, so much respect to the players for playing it. I'm a little surprised. I really am, that Adam Silver didn't step in and try to cancel the games or anything. I'm sure they will do a lot in the coming weeks and in the coming months and the coming years to honor Kobe. Again, this is just something that is unprecedented almost in the world of sports. It really is. I'm not that old. I don't know the totality of sports and how much has gone on and how much tragedy has gone on. But this is, in my lifetime, in my 27 years, it's just senseless, man. The guy was, he was 41. He was taking his 13-year-old daughter to practice. And to have something like that happen and with seven other people on board is just... I don't even know. I don't even know. But I hope the I hope the NBA does something to honor Kobe, because I really do think that, look, he's not a perfect man. He definitely is not a perfect man. He is not someone who has who is universally beloved. He, you know, there, you can look up what happened in Colorado and things like that. These are things that you cannot take back. And I don't think any I don't know, anything you do on a basketball court takes that away. But I think just strictly speaking in the sport of basketball itself and just in the realm of sports itself, the fact that someone put that much love and energy into mastering something, it's to me, it's very admirable, and I think it resonates throughout. And for someone like that to give back to the game, to champion women's sports, to pass it on to so many players. I mean, I look how many players are in the NBA wear Kobe's. It's not just because they're Nike athletes, man. It's because they love Kobe. DeMar DeRozan's not the only guy that patterned his game after Kobe. I'm sure every single one of these players grew up as a small kid throwing a piece of paper or a foam ball or anything, a ball of socks into a basket and yelling Kobe while they did it. I know I definitely did it. And you know, it's very inspiring, and I hope I hope his legacy lives on in the players, and I do believe it will, because how could it not? How could it not? It's something, what's fundamental about Kobe is something that is so fundamental about the sport itself. You know, it's about loving the game. It's about dedicating yourself to something, and it's about mastering. And I think no matter what walk of life you come from, you can take something from that. You can be inspired by that. And so, back to the Spurs Raptors games. That I honestly don't think it mattered that much, especially given the context. But you know, just to fill out the show, like your three stars tonight, obviously Pascal number one, 35 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 12 of 23 shooting, 5 of 11 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line, plus 15, 37 minutes, his best effort since injury, played really well. Didn't have the ball as much in the third quarter while the Raptors sort of gave up the lead, but you know, still was a prominent part in the end, and that's what you want to see from Pascal. You want to see him close games. You know, second star, I'm giving that to Kyle Lowry, just because he made a bunch of very, very key plays throughout in crunch time. 16 points, 6 of 14 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. But honestly, so much of Kyle Lowry's impact goes beyond the box score. He really does change so many things by the Raptors. And the courage to take over the game tonight in the fourth quarter when, you know, it didn't really seem like the Raptors could play the exact same way down the stretch as they did at the start of it. Kyle really stepped up when the game was difficult and made a bunch of key plays. And so you got to really respect Kyle for doing that. And he's really done it all season. We don't give him enough credit for being so clutch. And then third star, you can go a lot of ways with it. I think Fred deserves a shout for it. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, a block. But you know what? I'm going to give it personally to Marc Gasol, who only had 8 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, but was a plus 11, 36 minutes, and he really stabilized the defense. Really, the Raptors needed to just get better defensively. And he came up with a couple of stops. He came up with his little scoring run there, which accounted for all 8 of his points. And, you know, just did a really good job moving the ball and playing solid basketball. What the Raptors really needed tonight, just because of the circumstances and because the way the game was flowing, is just they needed someone to stabilize. And I thought Gasol did a really good job of stabilizing. But honestly, Fred has the same case, and it sucks. I wish I could give it to Fred too. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, Spurs got contributions from everybody, so it's hard to pick one. But if I had to go in with Derek White, who also got the Gerald Henderson Award when the Spurs beat the Raptors last time. White, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks. He had 6 turnovers and didn't shoot the ball that well. I don't really think he can shoot that much, but defensively, I think he really gave the Raptors problems, and he really sort of led that charge. He was the main aggressor in leading the Spurs comeback, so shout out to him. But yeah, that does it for the podcast, man. You know, it's... Oh, and it's just other news items. Rondé twisted his ankle. He left the game. He stepped on Marco Bellinelli's foot trying to, you know, post up, and immediately left the game. He had to be helped off the floor by Malcolm Miller and Stanley Johnson. And Norman Powell, it looked like at one point in the first half he had strained his leg, but he came out and returned and finished out the game. So, you know, seems like he might be okay, but we'll see. But yeah, the Raptors have now extended their win streak to 7 games. And I don't even know what else to say, man. It's just, it feels like the game doesn't matter, but at least Raptors pulled it out, and yeah, you know, as for anything else, I'm not religious, so I don't really know what to say, but I just, I'm keeping Vanessa Bryant's and Kobe's 3 surviving daughters, in my mind, and I really, really hope that they can land on their feet after all of this, and all those that depended on Kobe, surrounded by Kobe, inspired by Kobe. It's just a horrible, horrible tragedy, and yeah, I guess you just have to move on now. So thanks again to everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast, and I'll be back after the Raptors play the next game.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started. Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.